Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mother's Day 2020. This is an exciting time in the life of the church to celebrate moms and everything that they are. And if you have your mom and she's still with you, make sure you take the opportunity to give her a call today and tell her Happy Mother's Day. You might not be able to get together with her and hang out with her today like you would like, but make sure that you tell her how much she means to you today and celebrate some time with her. Because while you have them, make sure you do that. Because those of us who have lost our moms, it's pretty tough. We take advantage of other people's moms to say, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. So, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Got one in the sanctuary here while we're recording tonight. So I just want to say thank you for being here with us, and I hope you enjoyed the service today. And let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I thank you so much for the fact that you love us and you know exactly where each and every one of us are at right now. And you can fill in the gaps between us and our moms wherever they're at. We just thank you that you are able to do that and to let them know how special they are. Help us to appreciate the ones that you've put into our lives to be our moms and to be thankful for who they are and not focus so much on who or what they aren't, because they've helped us become who we are today in many ways, and we need to honor them and thank them. But Lord, this morning we're coming before you, and we want to worship you today and honor you for who you are and all that you've done in our lives. And we thank you for each and every moment that we have. No matter how crazy this time is in our lives, we thank you that you are walking with us through it. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
Our God and King, we've all been glorious forever. in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's our breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light. Worship you, Almighty God.
All right, folks, this is what's interesting is this is my 8th Mother's Day preaching in this church, and I've been really good up to this point. 8 Mother's Days, and I have not preached Proverbs 31, and that is all about to change. Today, we are going to look at good old number 31. We're going to take a look at it, but I don't want you ladies to be shrinking back in fear or worry or looking at it from the standpoint of we're targeting you this morning. I want you to know that this woman is the absolute ideal woman, just like Jesus is the absolute ideal for our lives. But this woman didn't just get there on her own. She wasn't probably always perfect. It took a lot to get her there. And we're going to look at that today. What are some of the things that make a Proverbs 31 woman? And what is our role in that? And how does that look when if we do our jobs right? And how we need to take that on? So before we jump into Proverbs 31, what I want to do is I want to pray with us this morning. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for all the moms and all the women who have wanted to be moms, but for some reason couldn't be. They physically couldn't make it happen. And that's okay, because there are a lot of great moms out there who have never born children, but have produced amazing results in the lives of people that they have touched, that they've mothered, that they've cared for, that were not their own. And we have all had moms' influences, whether they are genetically related or not. Moms of all sizes, shapes, and types have adopted us all and helped us become better every day. So Lord, we thank you for moms. We thank you for this incredible woman that is pointed out in Scripture. And we just ask that today as we look at what made her great, that we'd realize that you can use those same things to make us great too. And Lord willing and us willing, we will be great and noteworthy people as well. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, without further ado, Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. A wife of noble character who can find. She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her entire family and portion for the servants' girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings, and she plants a vineyard. She sets out about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You know, that sounds just like every woman I've ever met in my entire life, right? That sounds just like every woman in this church, every woman that you meet on the street. It just sounds like such an incredible picture of this hardworking, successful woman that it does. Everything she touches turns out perfectly. She wins all the pie baking contests at the state fair. She makes beautiful things, and everybody looks and says, she is the example for all of us to follow. They elbow her husband and say, what a lucky man you are. You know, that's a lot of pressure to put on anyone. To be Wonder Woman and Mother Teresa rolled up in one ball, I don't know which outfit she's going to wear. That's going to be the difficult thing. And what's she going to do? You know, is she going to be able to get people to do the right thing and tell the truth without having to tie them up and beat them into submission? You know, for her husband and her kids to look this good as they do in this story along with her, she would have to be both Wonder Woman and Mother Teresa. And you know, whenever this story gets preached, it always weighs heavy on the hearts of women who have to endure it. They sit in the pews and they start to shift and shrink down. And they're saying, why are people looking at me when he's talking about this woman? I'm not perfect. Unless being totally insecure is an attribute that's not listed in here, but it's attributed to this woman. I can't compare to this person. And you know, today, I want to relieve some of that pressure from the shoulders of all the women who are listening. You see, this story isn't about you yet. This story isn't about you. It's about all of us. And I want to unburden you a bit and help you carry the burden that is yours to carry and let go of the rest of it that is not yours. And I want to remind the rest of us that we have a part in this story and we have a burden to carry of our own. So today I want to look at what does it take for a woman or a person to become a Proverbs 31 kind of woman. What kind of courses do you need to take? What kind of mold do you have to be pressed into? What ingredients does it take to make up this type of a person that is worth a whole 21 verses in Scripture? And part of it starts out simply with the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Parents do an incredible thing. They set an example that can make us or break us. They have a huge responsibility as parents to help mold and shape us into the people we can become, to move us from where we're at and to move us towards this goal for our lives. And sometimes, parents, we do a good job and sometimes not so good of a job. Sometimes we fail to push, pull, and drag our kids and the people around us to become great. But we should be demanding and expecting excellence from everyone around us, including ourselves. We should be pushing for it and demanding it and expecting it until the people around us, our kids, the people that we come into contact, expect excellence from themselves in everything that they do. Now, there's a difference between excellence and perfection. Those are two different things. Excellence is giving it the best you've got every time. Perfection is doing it perfectly every time. And there's no one that can do it. But being excellent at everything, our excellence shows through. Sometimes we have to take people aside and have this conversation with them and say, look, I don't expect you to be perfect, but I do expect you to do your best. And I'm not seeing you do that right now. I know there's better inside of you, and you can do this. And you have to instill in them this desire for excellence, giving their best. And when they fail, you can help them say, I know you can do better, and help them figure out how to desire to do better. You see, that falls back on parents, Proverbs 22:6. Terrible verse. I don't know if I like this one as a parent, but it tells me that I am to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. Parents, teachers, Sunday school teachers, family, friends, aunts, uncles, we all have the responsibility to guide and direct our children to where they need to be. And that's what someone did in this woman's life. They showed her what to do. They showed her how to knit. They showed her how to work. And that's what made her great. She wasn't afraid to work hard for what she had, because when she knew that when she worked hard, she received a reward for it. And when she looked at that, she said, this is mine. And you know what? I'm going to go and buy a field, and I want to plant a vineyard. And the husband says, go for it. You've earned it. And that all started when someone invested in them at a young age to be able to become successful. Paul brings this out in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. What made Timothy a great man, what made him grow up to become a leader in the church, wasn't just because Paul put a stamp of approval on Timothy. What was there was grandma and mom poured into him everything that they could, pointing him towards Jesus. And Paul came along and cheered him on. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it starts when we are at a young age where we need to be pushing them to become great. And that's what someone did in this woman's life. And then what was interesting is the reins got turned over to Timothy, and he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. There comes a point where all this falls on their shoulders to do the right thing, to grow themselves in that direction. You see, we receive more than just DNA from our parents. They lay a foundation that we are always building on, that DNA, that personality, that family structure. But it's our responsibility to do something with all we have been given and make it grow into something great. Paul told Timothy that in 2 Timothy 1:5 through 6. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And what Paul is saying, you need to take what you've been given and run with it to its full course. You need to take it and use it to do something great. He didn't tell him exactly what to do, but he told him where he needed to go with his life. And you see, that's one of the incredible things is that it starts with the people who help shape us and mold us from an early stage, but also it comes into our lives from outside influencers that contribute to the Proverbs 31 greatness that is attainable for all of us. You see, Timothy was a young man when Paul entered into his life. Grandma and mom had started out a good thing. Paul came along and helped push it in the right direction. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he is talking to the Corinthians, but he's also talking to Timothy and to all of us. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul wasn't messing around. He says, I'm following Jesus in his sandal steps as close as I can, and if you want to go where I'm going, if you want to become what I am, you need to do what I'm doing, and that's following Jesus closely. All of us need to find someone who's following Jesus and follow them closely. It used to be that there were apprentice and trade schools that you went to. Now you go to college and you get all smart and grow up and be able to do great things, right? I know a lot of people that went to college that can't change light bulbs or fix a toilet. But the crazy thing is there are a bunch of people who know how to fix toilets that have never gone to college. The other day I was watching a little episode on TV and it showed Larry Bird talking about his shooting technique. And it was interesting because it turned out to be hilarious when it was all said and done, because the guy was asking him, Larry, break down your shot for us. How do you do this? And Larry goes, well, when I take the ball, I bring it back, and I bring it back here to about this spot here so I can still see the ball in my periphery. And when I shoot the ball, and I let it roll off those two fingers. And he's standing way out past the three-point line, and he's just draining them, right? And the guy goes, show us what a bad shot would look like. Well, what happens if you overextend that shot and you come too far back and you, instead of shoot the ball, you kind of like throw the ball? And he says, Well, he says, yeah, that's what happens. He says, it kind of does this. And I don't know if it was his rhythm or his he's done it right for so long he couldn't make himself do it. But he's off balance. He kind of just throws the ball up at the goal, and all of a sudden it just swishes. And he goes, well, you know me, kind of like that. You know, like there was what is the other option that he have? It's Larry Bird shooting a three-point shot. One of the greatest of all times, breaking down his technique. And he's so good at what he does that even when he tries to mess up, he can't. You know, I wonder if maybe everybody followed around Larry Bird, and maybe if every one of us followed around Jesus, our lives would look different in how we live. See, there's a lot of people who want to be basketball stars, but not everybody wants to be like Jesus. And there are people hitting sports fields all across the world, watching people demonstrate what excellence looks like, and you know, I don't see a lot of excellent people in the world. And you know, there's a lot of people who pay a lot of money to take lessons that never become great. Because it takes more than just being shown how to do something. It takes persistence and motivation to accomplish it. I love the quote I saw last week. Lou Holtz was asked, how do you inspire motivation in your players? He says, that's easy. I get rid of the ones that aren't motivated. Think about that. When was the last time you pushed unmotivated people out of your life? When was the last time you were motivated to go for it with everything that you have? There's a show I watch on TV, and there's a guy named Kevin on there, and it's from Ken Diggett Designs. He says, I can teach you how to do something, but I can't teach you how to work and be motivated or stick with it to overcome the obstacles you'll face. That's something you either have or you don't. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of people who don't have the desire to stick with Jesus through the tough times, to become that person of excellence that's worth a chapter in Scripture. And the only way that you'll ever learn to be a Proverbs 31 woman or a Paul or someone great is to find someone who is great and follow them. Do what they do and act like they act. You have to be motivated to do the hard things that they did to become great so you can become great. And that word's called sacrifice. The getting up early and putting in the time so you can become great. And you know, if we're not doing that, we'll never be a Proverbs 31 type of person. We'll never be like Jesus. But we need to sacrifice to make it happen. Listen, if your peer group stinks and you're all going nowhere fast, get a new peer group. If the group that you are in is not going where you want to end up, get into one that is. You see, the only way to become great is in it to imitate great people. And if you continue to imitate people that are less than you, then you're never going to make it. Now, listen, I'm not saying neglect them. But once you start to imitate great people and you start to set a new pace and you start going in a new direction, reach back and grab some of those people and drag them along with you and help them become motivated and do well. Because it's far too easy to sit around and do nothing than it is to set the pace for other people to follow. Yeah, I rarely talk about my brothers. I've got a brother named Jed, and Jed is an interesting individual. Jed plays the drums. He's a good musician. He plays guitar. He's self-taught in everything. He had a desire to do so. From an early age, he wanted to play drums, and his mom wouldn't get him any, so he saved his money. And while he was saving money to get a drum set back in the late 70s, early 80s, he saved up every dime he could. But while he was waiting for the money to come in to buy his first drum set for $100, he sat there in his room and he played drums. Now, he didn't have a drum set like you would imagine. What he had was he went and he realized that if I get different thicknesses of magazines and Sears and Roebuck's catalogs. He says, if I get different thicknesses, they make different sounds. And he goes, a thin one goes tick tick tick, and the other thicker one goes tick 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 all the way through until you get dunk dunk dunk. And so what he did was he sat there and he stole some of his mom's pan lids and hung them up. And he sat there in his room and he listened to the radio and he played. And it wasn't dunk 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 dunk. It was tick tick tock tick tick tock tick 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 tick. And he played. And he played and he played and he played because he wanted to play the drums. He didn't have a drum set, but he had magazines. And finally the day came when he saved up enough money and he went down and he bought his first drum set. And it was interesting because his mom and his stepdad had a band that played in different bars in the area. And when he was 15 years old, Jed entered into the bar scene playing in bars 2 weeks after he got his first drum set. Was he a prodigy? No. He was dedicated to learning how to play drums and he removed all the obstacles that were in the way so he could do it. And when the time came that he had his very own drum set, he was successful in what he did. He did that with drums. He did that with guitar. He went to college at Colorado State, graduated from there, slept in his car because he was homeless, but he knew he wanted to graduate. Why? Because he was dedicated. He was committed. He did it. He sacrificed to make it happen. And you'll never be great if you're not willing to sacrifice. You have to have the dedication and desire to do whatever it takes to overcome the obstacles holding you back. If you are prone to say, I can't because I don't, fill in the blank, you may never get there. If you're going to let an obstacle be your excuse, you may never get there. No one may ever write a chapter about you. But if you can scrounge up and scrape up enough desire that you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes to figure this out, you got a shot. And if you ever grow into that enough and you realize that you can say something even greater than that, where you can say, with God's help, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to do this, God's going to do something great with your life. Because he promises that we can do all things through him who gives us the strength. We can bring natural talent, we can do things, but he can do something great in our lives. And for anyone wanting to become a Proverbs 31 type of person, you need a good foundation from your family and good role models to follow and a great, great desire to succeed, but you also need a great support team. This is going to hurt. Not the women. The men. You see, husbands, we need to step up and make the women better each day. We need to make our wives and our kids better each day. It falls on our shoulders. It's not on theirs. They can only go as high as we allow them to, as far as we're willing to push them. Ephesians 5, 25 through 28, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You see, men, our job is to do whatever it takes to help God do his. And we need to do that for his glory and for their benefit. We need to do just what Jesus did, sacrifice everything so that they can succeed and become successful if they choose to. But very few of us are in that boat with Jesus, choosing to sacrifice everything for the sake of someone else. We would rather sink and drown rather than ask him for help. We're too worried about building our little kingdoms than building his and making other people great. And you know, if our wives are bottom shelf kind of women, and if our kids are gutter crawling low lives, I wonder what percentage has to do with us and what percentage has really to do with them. Let that sink in. Because if it's true that we're supposed to train them up and make them, and if we're supposed to build them up and enable them to become successful. And they aren't. Maybe it's not their fault, maybe it's ours. But you know what? I've learned something. I actually will say the craziest statement ever. Thank God for shelter at home. Why? I've learned it's not too late to start over or begin again. Because I found that being sheltered in place and stuck on a postage stamp has forced all of us to love each other better, to be kinder, and build each other up. And I even bought my wife mulch today for Mother's Day. And I shoveled it into a wagon for her so she could put it around her flowers. Why? Because I love her and I want to see her happy and successful. And it's never too late to start, and it's never too late to begin again. See, ladies and gentlemen, we are still breathing and we still have success in front of us if we choose it. And kids, I dug deep for this one. It's in Exodus 20:12. It's God's original top 10 TikToks of all time, where he said, "Honor your father and mother so it may go well, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." You see, ladies and gentlemen, kids of all ages, we need to spend our entire lives honoring mom and dad because God says so. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 6:1-3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with this promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth." Kids, let me tell you something. If you aren't listening to your mom, to your dad, to your stepmom, to your stepdad, if you're not doing that, if you're not listening and obeying, you're not helping them become the best that they can be. You're holding them back. And you're going to bring out the worst in them and draw that bitter root into yourself. You see, any and every act of disobedience on your part robs them of their joy of being your parent. And it keeps you from receiving any blessing you may have coming to you. All you're going to do is bring out the worst in them, and that's going to put the worst into you, and it'll bring out the worst in your life for the rest of your life. This is the time in which you are to learn and to grow into how you should become a Proverbs 31 type of person. But being disobedient and not listening to your parents and following their advice and godly advice, you're not helping yourself at all. Matter of fact, you're hindering every bit of your future potential. But when you listen and you obey and you respect them, you inspire them to do better by you. And you know, the reality for most of us, if not all of us, is that we didn't have great parents or role models or peer groups that we grew up in. Most of us have married based on looks or good times rather than looking and searching and waiting for a Proverbs 31 kind of mate to come along. And you know what's sad is our kids are turning out to be just like us and are the sum total of all the worst that has oozed out of us into their lives. So the question becomes, what are we going to do about it? We can either stay the same, sitting in the pig's pen, settling for pig slop, desiring to be great again, but not willing to do a thing about it. And we'll slide off into anonymity and nobody will ever even visit our graves. Or today is the day we decide we will do what it takes to become noteworthy enough to be the greatest comeback story God has yet to write. To become a chapter worthy of mention in God's great narrative that he is currently writing in time and space. There is the Bible that is full of stories of nobodies and failures and less thans who reached out and asked him to save them and became great, and they hold a place in his story forever. Not in anonymity, but in royalty and written down on its pages. And it's time that we rise up to the standard of the Proverbs 31 woman and conform ourselves to the image of Christ. And if our parents weren't good examples, we cannot use them as our excuses and remain failures any longer. If the group of you that you're in is not going where you want to end up, get into one that is. The only way to become great is to imitate great people until you become like them, and then people will start to imitate you. And while you're doing that, encourage those around you to become great with you, because it's more fun when others succeed with you. I know it's tough, but it's time we become the great person God has created each one of us to be. To be like Jesus. To be that Proverbs 31 type of person. Willing to sacrifice to make it happen. And let God work in that. And if we choose to start today, a year from now, we will see some great comeback stories. Your story, my story. And God's waiting to see what you are willing to do with what he's given you. So let's pray. God, we no longer want to shrink down in our seats when we hear people talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. We don't want to be ashamed or feel like we fall short of what you want for us and from us every time we hear the preacher preach on holiness and being like you, Jesus. Take our lives over right now. Top to bottom, inside and out. And forgetting what is behind us, we will press on towards the life that you desire for us and from us, no matter what the costs. We do love you, Jesus. Thanks for all that you've done to make this life that we have possible. Holy Spirit, help us take full advantage of it so that we bring glory to you and build your kingdom. And one day we sit around and other people will tell our stories like they do the Proverbs 31 woman and say, look what God did with them. We thank you, Jesus, that all things are possible in and through you, even making us great. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Draw me to your side.
Folks, thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate your being here. And again, if you want to chip in and help out with the ministry here at the Mount Carroll Church of God, send it on into Box 72, Mount Carroll, Illinois. And if you can, give us a little hand paying the bills around here. Have a great week. Tell your mom I said thank you for being your mom. And may God bless all you today. See you.